Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, January 4th, 2016, and I am at CES with Dave Hamilton. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Jeff. It's nice to see you.
It's nice to see you. And let me turn around, Brian Chaffin. Hey. You're looking beautiful today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Here in Las Vegas.
Here in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Yes. And gracing us with his presence, John F. Braun.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to have you guys here. It's also great that amazing Omni Group, Merlin Project, MacPaw, and Elgato are sponsoring our show all week long. That's really awesome. And hey, as long as we're here, we have survived our first night through CES, and we got to see some interesting products at CES Unveiled. I figured we could highlight a few things that we liked from the show.
Yeah, see, you know, I think it's important, and I actually put up a piece last night explaining what these events are, because we talk a lot about the things we find there, and in passing reference, we sort of talk about these things like Unveiled last night, Pepcom tonight, Showstoppers tomorrow night. And so last night I took some video of the event itself right after it opened so that people could see what it is we're experiencing when we talk about this stuff. It's like a trade show, but it's not a trade show. The only people in there are press, and no one has a big booth. Everybody has a table that's exactly the same size, and it's really just about learning about the products. And I think last night there were, what, over 100 vendors there?
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. Easily. Yeah. And that'll be the same tonight and the same tomorrow night. And in many ways, that's more valuable for us than the show floor. So
much, much more valuable.
Well, yeah. Everyone's there for the same reason.
Exactly. Yeah. So I put that video up. It's probably more interesting to us than to you, but I figured, you know, we talk about it so much that that at least if you want to see a glimpse, we've got this little glimpse of it for you to follow along with us.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's as crazy and chaotic as it looked. Yeah, it was.
It's crazy and chaotic. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it right. Is.
Though I would say these are at least somewhat manageable. CES, no one individual could possibly see everything, whereas these at least provide some focus, but you also get to talk to the key players.
Right.
That's the thing, is it's a short-lived event. It's a 3-hour, 4-hour event, so your chances of they can, like you said, the key players of the product manager that built the product is going to be there for the entire time. Whereas a show floor that runs 4 days, your chances of catching that product manager, unless you have an appointment, are random based on their schedule for the rest of the stuff. So yeah, it's good. We can talk about this stuff. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Sure. All right. Well, then I guess I'll start off. One thing that really stood out to me was a product from 7Hugs, and it's their smart remote. And it's a little remote control that's about the size of Apple's remote, but it has a touch interface. And that's cool, but that's not what makes this cool. What makes this really stand out is that it's like if you had a Logitech Harmony remote and you shrunk it down into something that was the size of an Apple remote with an interface that was dynamic, so it changed based on what you were doing, and then set it up so that it knows what direction you're pointing, so it can figure out what device it's supposed to be paired with at any given time, and it links up with other services. So you can tap your television button on the screen, and it will dim your Hue lights, it will turn on your Apple TV, it will turn on your television in stereo, and it will fire off something through If This Then That, so your friends know that the movie's about to start and they better show up with the drinks.
Okay. So, it's a orientation awareness remote.
It's orientation awareness, but it's also very flexible because you're not limited to a specific set of buttons, because the buttons,
they're all smart buttons.
Yeah. Because it's just a touchscreen.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And it was really cool what they were doing. It's about to launch, and it ships in, I think, February.
Huh? Cool.
And it already supports over 260 devices, a ton of different services, and they're going to be adding more.
Sweet. Huh. Cool. What's the price?
Yeah.
The price is, I want to say, $299.
Okay. And it's the remote and a hub or the remote just stands on its own?
It's the remote just stands on its own because okay. It just goes onto your network and then it has IR port on the front for the devices
the
that need
okay.
that.
Got it.
And it has the Bluetooth built in. So it doesn't need a hub.
It doesn't need a hub. Okay. But you are forced from an IR standpoint to make sure you are pointing at the device that you want to control. Although that's sort of the point, no pun intended.
Right.
Of this, right? Yeah. Okay.
Right. And and with its little GPS built in, it knows as you're spinning the remote around what it needs to be transmitting out.
Well,
how they do that, I actually had a chance to see this earlier. So they give you two what I'll call transponders, positional transponders, and you place them in the area, and that's how it then knows what you're pointing at. So you got to calibrate it once and say, okay, when I'm pointing in this direction, I'm pointing at this thing.
Yeah,
when I first saw it, it was actually kind of creepy. I'm like, how does it know what I'm pointing
how
at?
How do it know? Yeah.
And what remote to load? So there's a little well, once they told me that magic, it made it less creepy and more magical, I'd say. But it was really clever.
He's February.
Yeah. Okay. So that was a standout for me.
Cool.
All right, Brian?
Sure. Let's actually look at the Lemon California Roll, which is a Bluetooth speaker. Now, I think everyone here in this room knows that I'm kind of a real persnickety jackanape about Bluetooth speakers. Most of them, I just don't like them, usually. This one, what was really cool is that it's solar powered. So with 7 hours of sunlight, it'll give you 20 hours of playback. It's got a 5,000 milliamp hour battery built into it with a USB port, so you can actually use it to charge other devices too. It is $249. I don't know how it sounded. I couldn't possibly know how it sounded on the show floor, but the fact that it's solar powered, I thought was pretty cool. It's also waterproof, dustproof, sandproof, all these other various proofs.
That's high price for a Bluetooth speaker.
It is.
I mean, in a market where, you know, $199 is like the top, although I guess we're talking about adding solar panels
yes.
to a Bluetooth speaker. So we've got to account for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And it looked okay for a Bluetooth speaker. And it's the solar power thing that grabbed my attention. It's the only reason why I even gave it a second look. And then as they're telling me about it, I mean, the fact that you can actually use it to charge your other devices while you're out there on the beach, you know.
Right.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Okay, so it becomes your solar power hub, if you will.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of cool.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
Huh. Cool. All right, John, what'd you find?
Okay. First thing that really caught my attention was a product that does presence and motion detection in a very unique way. So there are a lot of products that do this. You may think, well, how do I detect that something is in an area? You know, someone is moving through the house or breaking into the house. A camera is a natural way to do that. Well, this doesn't use a camera. This uses radio frequency, field disruption.
I got to check this out, too. And actually, I got a video from these people, so that'll be going up today.
Yes, the video, and they do have, and I think we're both going to check it out later, but they actually have a VR experience. You can also see it in the movie that they provide. But, you know, I did get some details on this. So
I have a question. So when you told me that this was RF last night, I thought it was just looking for someone coming into your home carrying devices, because we all have devices that emit RF, and it was going to detect that. This is actually using RF like we would use infrared or something like that for, like you said, field disruption.
Yes. It senses the field disruption, which humans and many other things will disrupt RF fields.
Of course. Yeah, we're awful at it. Try you know, getting a Wi-Fi signal across an empty room and then fill that room with ugly bags of mostly water and try to get a Wi-Fi signal across it.
So there's two pieces.
How about get a Bluetooth signal from your phone to your ear?
Yes. Right. Yeah, exactly. Huh.
So,
that's cool.
So there's two pieces. There's a hub and a sensor. You basically plug them in opposite ends of whatever area you want to monitor, and then it creates, I guess, kind of like a football-shaped RF field, and then anything that moves through it, it will detect.
John, I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second. The product is called Aura. You didn't mention that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. All right. I've got
the product is called Aura. It's from a group called Cognitive Systems Corp, which I believe they're based up in Canada and draw upon some Canadian talent. The most they could tell me is that it does something with RF between the frequencies of 680 megahertz and 4 gigahertz. But among the features that it provides is that you can see who is home. If there's nobody home, you can arm it as an alarm, and then if something happens, it will tell your smart device. You can get a history of the motion, a live motion scan, historical timeline, and then this, I suppose they have to train it somehow, but it could actually tell you who, whether it be a person or maybe a pet or something, is in the home and whether that's something that's good or not. So,
whoa.
Sounds like some very, very clever stuff here. The pricing... The pricing for this is for the two units is $499, but they do have a $399 pre-order special. And if you want to get more information about it, you can check it out at aurahome.com.
I'm going to add a little bit to that. Dave, you'll like this. Since all these devices we already have in our homes are emitting RF waves, it's looking for that. And then it supplements that with its own little RF transmitter.
Okay, so it profiles your environment and then adds whatever it needs to make sure it can do its scanning. And
right.
Wow, isn't that... That's clever.
It's pretty clever. So
Ted Kaczynski would have had problems.
Yes.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. No RF.
No RF.
That's right. But he would still have disrupted their RF if he were willing to put this in his home.
It was only a 10-foot square cabin, so...
That's right.
Probably enough.
He may have appreciated that, though. It's odd that we're... joking about this, but what happens when you get four guys with not enough sleep and way too much tech.
Yeah, so, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
There's the title of the episode.
All right, Dave, do you find anything cool?
I did. I was very excited that Linksys finally announced their mesh Wi-Fi product called Velop. Envelop is the concept. So Velop, V-E-L-O-P. There's a lot of cool things that they are doing. We've talked plenty about mesh, and I've certainly lived through a ton of it in the last 6 months here. But what Linksys is doing with this is it's a system of like technology units. So similar to the Eero or the Luma, every Velop unit is the same, unlike, say, the Amplify, where you've got a defined base station, and the Orbi, where you've got a defined base station. The Velop is like the Eero and the Luma, where you get as many as you need. They sell them in a 3-pack, a 2-pack, and a 1-pack, $499 for a 3-pack, $349 for a 2-pack, and $199 for just one of these. But they are all exactly the same. They have two Ethernet ports in them and three radios. Two of the radios are 5 gigahertz. One of them is 2.4. The Orbi is the only other unit that has three radios. But with the Orbi, the third radio is dedicated for backhaul between the Orbis only. Whereas with Velop, it is on the fly deciding what radio should be used for what purpose, either backhaul or clients, or sometimes, sure, even both, although with three radios, hopefully you don't have to ever do any double duty, and that's kind of the point of this. It can do any network configuration, so it could be you could just use these as access points if you happen to have Ethernet throughout your house, and it will intelligently kind of create that mesh. If you don't have Ethernet in your house, it will either use a true mesh with like multi-hop, where the signal is actually jumping from multiple Velops to the end user, or a star configuration if that's the most efficient way. It's constantly testing its own network and updating it like mesh should. The differentiating factor here is that this is the only mesh product with three radios that is currently doing that. The Orbi, as I said, is the only one with three radios, but it's awesome. The backhaul on that's crazy because it's got crazy radio for that. But it's not actually doing this sort of live meshing thing. I'm very interested in this because it seems like Linksys has taken, have kind of leapfrogged. If this does what it does, and I haven't tested it yet, and I will, they've got a set of them coming out to me, I think next week. But
cool.
Yeah. But you know, they've been, the Linksys name has been known in routers forever. I mean, I think they were the first home. Well, I guess Apple was the first home wireless router, weren't they? With the airport. Yeah. But you know, Linksys has been around for a while. Belkin acquired the brand a number of years ago, and Belkin told me that the Velop is the reason they acquired the Linksys brand. This has been in development for like 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So they kind of saw this as everyone. I mean, you know, it was obvious we needed a solution where you put this stuff in your home and then you don't have to think about it. You just have Wi-Fi everywhere. And when, you know, two people start streaming Netflix, the network is smart enough to sort of move clients around so that no one interrupts anyone else. It's missing what I call one key feature, and that is there is no WAN port quality service, no QoS on that to keep, say, when your iPhone decides to barf all its pictures up, that can slow down the rest of your browsing because it's going to soak up all the bandwidth that you have from your service provider, like your cable company. They don't have any QoS on this yet, but they were very eager to show me all of the great QoS advancements that they have in all of their other routers. So while they wouldn't say what was coming to this, the answer to my question, what's going on with QoS here, was you really should look at our other routers and what QoS they have, which makes sense, right? In-house engineering, this is all software, so it can, theoretically, if the stack is similar enough, they can just move things around. It is difficult to do QoS in a way that the user doesn't have to have any involvement. My guess is that over time, we're going to see Linksys sort of develop their profile for this and push it out. But I'm very excited. It's great to see them entering the mesh world. You know, I think we've got some great hardware in the market, and over the next year, software updates are going to define what the best mesh product is for anyone home.
Is it shipping already?
Pre-orders started yesterday. It will ship on January 15th.
Got it.
Yep.
Cool. Hey, we have a sponsor today.
We do.
And that sponsor is Merlin Project, which is pretty cool. Dave, you've used their software before, right?
I have, yeah. You know, Merlin the Project Wizards folks have been doing, they are a singular focus company. And I like things like this, right? Especially for a software vendor, because they can go really, anybody can. Project Wizards does go very deep into making sure they build the best project management software they can build. They use their own software to manage their development of their own software. It's being tested as it's being built. It's built for the Mac. There is a cloud hosted service that you can host called Merlin Server, secure self-hosted cloud, so that you can sync all your stuff among multiple Macs, or you can add Merlin Project Go, which is an iOS app that lets you access and manipulate your projects on the iPhone and the iPad. So, you know, we're talking about things when it comes to, you know, planning, managing, controlling all your projects, very, very simple. They call it their graphical WBS, the work breakdown structure, and a mind map. So you can just capture all of the data that you need and then build it out into a very visual and understandable project that can go layers deep depending on what it is you need to track. So it doesn't matter what type of project you're working on. Merlin Project is going to be flexible and really easy to use. It's super easy to get started with this. Like I said, they've been doing this a long time. They understand not only how deep power users want to go, but how easy it needs to be for a new user to get in and get going, because you don't need to go deep on day one. And they've kind of got both those bases covered, largely because of you know, how mature this product is and its code base is.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And we have a URL where people can go check this out.
We do. That's merlinproject.net/TDO. So Merlin Project, the standard milestone for project management on Mac OS.
awesome. And thank you, Merlin Project, for being our sponsor today.
Yeah, and thank you for helping us do what we're doing here at CES. It's really appreciated.
Yeah, it is. And we are almost out of time, but there's one other thing that I wanted to hear a little bit about. And so, Brian, I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, all right.
You got to meet what I've been calling Doug the dog.
Yeah, I didn't actually meet the dog.
I did. The dog was so sweet.
Okay, well, glad I could help.
Yeah, we really liked each other.
So the product, though, that Doug the dog was representing is called Kion. I think it actually has a Kion tracker. Kion is the company. It's a dog tracker. I've seen dog trackers. I've seen pet trackers, and I've never really particularly been impressed with the state of the technology heretofore. This one seems to be pretty cool. You can set up a 300-foot geofence that communicates with the hub, where the collar communicates with the hub via Bluetooth. Outside of that geofence, it activates a SIM card in the collar. So the SIM card can be trackable through, exactly, can be trackable through cellular networks.
But it keeps it off when you're inside the geofence to keep the battery usage down.
Yes.
All right, so now I have to share an inside bit since it's an audio show and not video show. When Brian stopped and said exactly, it's because Dave had this look of awe on his face as he pulled his iPhone out of his pocket.
Yeah.
And Brian's like, exactly.
So, you know, it actually does more than we can actually get into right now. It's got a little display on it that will do messages like, hi, I'm lost. For, you know, someone else seeing your dog. It has sensors built into this thing that does things like checks for water. So like in case your dog has gotten into, you know, a river or a pool or something. It detects temperature. So it can actually say I'm cold or I'm hot. It communicates with a smartphone app that will give you more detailed information. It's $249. I believe it's going to be, they told me yesterday, I don't have this on me. It's going on sale later this year, I believe. Does that ring a bell? Jeff, you saw them?
I was busy playing with the dog.
that's fantastic. It's absolutely the first pet tracker that I've personally been interested in and personally thought was nifty. Oh, if your dog barks, you can have it emit a frequency that only they can hear that will theoretically make them stop barking. So that's kind of fun.
That as an aside, that's kind of a big feature.
Yeah,
they might want to release a product that is exactly the same hardware, but lead with that as the marketing message.
fair enough. And then it will also do supposedly. They didn't tell me about this, but I'm looking on the website and it says avoid dangerous fights with Kion pacifier technology. So I don't know what that means. I'm assuming that's also going to be audio based, high frequency.
Either that or they're going to put a little barrel of bourbon around the dog's neck.
Oh, how cute.
I know. It's so sweet. All right. That was just really cool. And I loved that that while everyone else got to learn about the product, I was just sitting on the floor talking to the dog.
I'm bummed that I missed a dog. I love dogs, and I don't have one now, so I'm super jealous.
Well, they'll be here for a couple more days, so go back. And what you need to do is ask if it's okay to pet the dog, and then because she's a service dog. And then they'll tell the dog, take a break, and she'll get all excited and get right up against you so that you can pet her.
Solid.
Yeah. So cool. All right. Well, we are out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up, and we'll have more products to talk about tomorrow. So thank you to Amazing Omni Group, Merlin Project, MacPaw, and Elgato for coming on board and sponsoring us all week long while we're here at CES. All of those companies rock. I'll make sure there's links to all of them in the show notes. Dave, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me. This is fun. Nice being in the same room with everybody.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, this is great. And Brian, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us, man. It's great.
Yeah, this is awesome. And John, I'm so glad that you're here joining us too. It's really fun when we get to do shows like this, and it's great that you're part of it too.
Thank you.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.